Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Have you checked out the latest Ball Family Reserve collection from Ernie Ball Music Man? BFR is a celebration of Ernie Ball's heritage in instrument craftsmanship, which features some of the finest figure tone woods and finishes available. These rare pieces are offered in limited production runs and allow the public access to instruments previously reserved for family and loyal artists. This month features the Bongo in Wild Cherry Burst, the Majesty in Blue Steakhouse, and Valentine in Target Burst. Learn more about where to get yours at music-man.com/BFR. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Oh, I'm first.
Jay Cross.
Oh, I'm second.
And Clark Packham.
Who?
Mark Packham, sorry, I got that wrong.
Oh, I'm third.
Yes, yes, welcome. welcome
last.
Back, Mark
last.
Packham.
I'm last.
Bronze. There's no losers apart from you.
Yeah, Joe Branton.
Apart from
The line from Indiana Jones? And in this kind of race, there's no silver medal for coming second. So in the third Indiana Jones.
The penultimate Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
The best Indiana, easily the best Indiana
the second
Jones.
One, yeah, second one.
Is no, the third one. Whoa!
Yeah, I like the fourth one. Have you seen? You guys seen that?
No.
What, there isn't okay. One, is there?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, it was really good. Really good.
Oh,
Crystal
yeah,
Skull.
The TV series, Young Indiana Jones.
Oh, that was great. No, sorry, I meant the fifth
how
one.
How did old Indiana Jones lose his eye? Why is that never covered in the films? Because old Indiana
happened.
Jones in the series, one eye.
I like this, the second podcast in a row that we've talked about Indiana Jones.
Oh, is Indiana it? Jones
yeah,
is
because
best.
Last week we talked about how...
Oh, Jay, did you miss the Temple of Doom special last week?
No, we were talking last week about how in the fourth one, he is in the fridge in the nuclear explosion.
Oh, yeah.
The same as in Back to the Future.
Same as the original concept of Back to the Future, which led to us to talking about not the guitars, which it easily could have, but...
So
not.
Yesterday, or the day before, I saw Mark and...
Hello.
And he said, oh, how has the podcast been the last couple of weeks? I haven't got around to listening. And I was like, yeah. I mean, I can't remember anything that we talked about, but I remember I enjoyed it. So like basically as soon as we finish, as soon as I cross the threshold out of the door, that's it. It's just, it all disappears.
It all disappears.
Which is why I just continue to make the same jokes and tell the same stories over and over again, because I just forget.
Well, they are wonderful stories.
And I'm very boring, but you know, it's fine.
Well, we have got Mark Packham back. Welcome
Hello.
Back, Mark. Thank you for joining us again on this week's episode.
The How's
200...
it been?
Yeah, it's been great. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time without you. But this is the 278th episode.
Unbelievable.
Three episodes on from when I wanted to introduce the Guitar Nerds quiz, because of course we put out a Guitar Nerds 2020 survey a few weeks ago, which we're going to talk a bit about in the Patreon. And we, amongst other things, we were asking for feedback on what people would improve. And more often than not, people requested a return of the every Mac. 25... Yeah, of the return of every 25th episode, it being a quiz episode. So it would have been perfect because the 275th episode was up as the next one. But I need all the men here to be available so that we can do a quiz.
OGs.
Yeah, all the OGs. So now we've got you back. We're going to do a quiz. But I want to talk about some stuff beforehand because, you know, Matt Knight, you bought more stuff, I presume.
Just acquired more things. Actually, the best things this week were getting stuff back from service. I had to put some stuff in the amp and guitar hospital. Because I tried to change the tape on my Space Echo and broke it.
Oh no!
Basically, I have changed the tape before, but I put the tape in and was like, something does not sound right, and I don't think I've had it serviced since I bought it. So I was like, right, that's been in my cupboard for ages. I was going to drop it in for a service the week before lockdown, and then obviously couldn't. And they've reopened, so I sort of ventured to go and drop that off. And then
where do you get your stuff serviced in
so
London?
It's been tricky because when I lived in Brighton, I always used to go to Peter Hall, the legend that is Peter Hall. And in London, I've always struggled. When I worked at Anderton's, they offered a couple of service people there. But amps is something I've not had to get serviced too much before. But I started going to a guitar tech in Denmark Street called Stairway to Kevin's.
Oh, yes. I know Stairway to Kevin's. We've spoken about them before on this podcast.
We have, yes. Yeah, they're super nice guys out there. And they set up my Nick Cooper when I had the pickups put in. And then in the same office, in the same bit, they have JPF Amps, which I think have been on Denmark Street for a while. He makes his own amps, but he's been a long time sort of tech, you know, on Denmark Street for amp repairs and stuff. I think he does a lot of warranty external repairs for other companies and stuff as well. So I took the Space Echo to him, but about 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, plugged in my Morgan, and then I was like, something definitely doesn't sound right. It was like you couldn't turn it up like past one or two without it just sounding like the whole circuit was like collapsing in on itself. And I was like, oh, that's fine. You know, at least I've got other amps. I was like, I'll plug in my Deluxe Memory Man. And I was like, this doesn't sound very good either. I was like, oh, it's just like all the repeats are distorted and all that. So I was like, oh, God. So I dropped it all in and got it all back. And it's just wonderful. Space Echo, wonderful. Deluxe Memory Man, wonderful. Morgan, wonderful.
So what amp heads are you rocking totally? You still got the Olsen.
I've still got the Olsen, the Little Hill, and the
Little Morgan. Hill, which is what, 25 watts?
20 watts.
And you use that for, is that like a clean
platform?
Because Olsen are normally quite metal orientated.
Yeah, so it's the signature amp from the second guitar player in Opeth. And actually Opeth is, you know, goes between very clean and very distorted. Yeah. But I'd spend a bit more time just actually using the gain channel. I've always shied away from two channel amplifiers just because I've always had distortion pedals on the floor. And I was like, no, I'm going to use the effects loop and use like one delay pedal and just play along with the amp. So I've been sort of using that a lot, really. I mean, it's a great clean platform. It needs a little bit of reverb in the effects loop just because I'm so used to playing the Morgan, which has obviously got like a real splashy Fender type spring tank in it. But having the Morgan back is just, it's just brilliant. It's, you know, it's like a souped up kind of Princeton, 12 watts. Just amazing. Just sounds amazing. So it's nice to have that back.
Is it just the two heads?
Yeah, so I've got that. I've also got, at the moment, I mean, because I'm not going into the office, I'm sort of working from home. I've also got a JC22 here and a Nextone.
Wonderful.
And every day the doorbell rings and brings more stuff. And Amy, my partner, is getting very annoyed, mainly because there's no packages for her. So I've had to sort of like balance it out with the, you know, like the odd gift for me and then the occasional gift for her. But yeah, it's also, I've just had to move like the entire studio and all the gear I need for work and stuff is here as well.
Well, this is the thing. You do buy the strangest stuff for someone who's fitting their studio literally into their bedroom.
Literally.
Because you actually, you expanded your cab setup this week as well.
Yeah, I'd always had two 212s for ages. And then I switched to the two 112s in the sort of mini half stack from Zilla.
And what speakers did you have in the two 112s? They were vertical 112s though, weren't they? So they weren't
it's like two 412s shrunk down into two 1x12s.
Right.
And was running, you know, one amp into the top cab and one amp into the bottom cab. Because, you know, one's a straight front, one's an angled front, so it looks like a mini stack. And the problem was the top cab is obviously way more directional because it's much more angled at your face. So trying to find like a balance between those two cabs was difficult unless you had it side by side. And I sort of missed having the two 2x12s for ages. I'd had a Morgan running through a 2x12 and this, I had a Sur amp that I was running through a 2x12. And, you know, we've talked about Zilla a lot. They're the best cab company out there, and obviously do a range of fantastic colours and designs. And they make a cab called the Fat Boy, which is the same sort of, normally the same width dimensions as the 112, but it's much deeper. So you get a little bit more of a boomier, bassier cab. And they've done that as a vertical 112. So it's like a oversized, like really tall 112. And right. I was like, I also need it open back, because the problem with a 1x12 closed back cab that's angled like at waist height, it is just like so directional. Yeah. So I was like, for, you know, the kind of real clean platform that the Morgan is, I wanted a oversized 112 so it's nice and bassy, but also isn't as directional. So they built this amazing 112 with a nice oval back on it, and it's just wicked. It's just,
it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
They're actually great value for money as well.
Yeah, unloaded. I mean, they're like, you know, I think depending on what options you go for, starting price is like $290 or $285 or something like that.
Which is very good.
Considering they're all made to order, you can have any colour combination you want. You can do anything fancy, you know, any sort of basket weave. And
you can even edit the logo, I think, as well.
Yeah, they changed their logo recently. I don't know what options they offer now.
I think you can get, like, you could have your band logo on it or something.
Guitar Nerds, for example.
Yeah, you could have Guitar Nerds, yeah. Or a picture of my face.
Yeah.
No one's going to get that.
You hear the drab silence there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got this oversized 112, which has got the EV, which is a 200-watt, like, super high headroom, like, no distortion speaker.
So what do you need a 200-watt sort of, you know, PA style speaker for?
All the headroom. I don't want no breakup. Basically.
What head are you running into that?
Just the Morgan. Super clean. As clean as you like. Turn it up all the way. Super clean.
Why don't you play keyboard, Matt, honestly?
Does it not make it a bit characterless? Because, of course, those speakers are really designed for sort of modelling amps and things.
No, not the EVs. The EVs are like, the EVM12L is like a legendary guitar speaker.
Right.
For things like twins and dumbles and all that sort of stuff. Because they basically, you can't overload it. So all of the character of the amp comes through the speaker with the character of the speaker.
I see.
But you don't really get any of the breakup. Right. What's interesting, and that's, I was talking a little bit about that Celestion Redback, is, you know, their idea behind that is if you've got a 412 that's got 425-watt greenbacks, that's 100 watts, but you've got to have a 412. This is the same power handling in one speaker.
That is very nice. That's a nice feature, especially with the way sort of amp sizes are moving. You know, now that gigs happen in bedrooms.
Yeah, exactly. And I must admit, I was super, super tempted to make it a 15-inch cab. I was like, Because you know, we've been talking about, there was a question on the Patreon a few weeks ago about the dream Fender amp. I was like, custom twin 15. And then we were talking about the dual Showmaster that we were talking about a few weeks ago, which is the 2x15
cam. I'm about that. Dual Showman,
that's it. 215. I was like, oh. And Matt's like, could I go to 18? Then I was like, I'm too tired to look at speakers anymore. I must go to bed before I order like an 18. Because I gigged with a bass player once in a covers band. And he had an 18-inch cab. And then I think he had a 10-inch cab and then some like 6-inch tweeters. It was ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
But yeah, so that's why I went for the oversized. It's just a bit more boomy. It's got a lot more bottom end. And now the amp's been fully serviced, it just sounds like way better than I ever remember it. It's just like really clean. The reverb tank's got that kind of real like surfy vibe to it. I'm into
Record some, Matt. I want to see.
Nah. What'd be the point in that?
That's not Matt's vibe.
No, but that's why I'm super keen for you to start the sort of special on recording guitars and all that sort of stuff. It's something that I've wanted to do all year and somehow keep finding time to put it off.
Yeah.
But I will do it. I wanted to live stream this weekend, but Sunday was an oven and was almost... I was like, because I don't like having the windows open, so I'm like, I'm not going to like blast the neighbours with my... you know, average guitar playing. So I have to shut the windows and shut the door because obviously also, you know, Amy's like, please don't leave all the doors open in the flat. So the room with two valve amps on also becomes horrendously hot. So I'm just like, no. So I need to wait for it to get cool. Winter time. That's my jam.
Yes. I'm looking forward to, you know, like wearing winter clothes again. That would be nice.
That's a horrible thought.
It's literally true right now. Oh. Yes, absolutely. Anyway, Jay Cross, Fender have released something rather exciting this week. Something incredibly flamboyant and, has certainly caught the eye of everyone in the guitar industry.
Well, I'm not necessarily sure I agree with the statement that it's flamboyant, but Joe is referring to the brand new Shawn Mendes Music Master.
It looks fantastic.
It does look really good. Now, there's quite a lot going on here that is worth unpacking for a sec. So, Shawn Mendes is...
Yeah, number one. Who is Shawn Mendes?
So, okay, number one...
he's a director.
Of what?
I don't know. It's Sam Mendes. That's who it keeps making me think of. The director of several Bond films, Sam Mendes.
Okay. And Titanic?
No, that's James Cameron.
Yeah, no, it was wasn't Sam Mendes married to Kate Winslet, I think.
Ah.
Which is why I'm thinking of Titanic. That is true, right. Yeah. I'm Wikipedia-ing him now.
Anyway, Shawn Mendes, who is, to my knowledge, not related to either Sam Mendes nor Kate Winslet, or had anything to do with Bond or Titanic in any way.
I was going to say, he was in Titanic, though.
Shawn Mendes? I don't think so. Shawn Mendes was definitely not born when Titanic came out.
No, he was, mate. He's that guy that when it's the ship sort of like pointing up at the thing, he falls down and hits the...
and then there's a spin.
That was like truly a horrifying... That was one of the first truly horrifying moments that I saw in cinema. I was just like, that is... Like that really triggered something in terms of like existential dread.
It's a weird scene, though, because
just
like,
thinking
the,
like, the noise wow, that that's awful. Noise that they put in is hilarious.
Yeah, which is weird because they're basically like, yeah, it's the most horrifying scene. And then when he hits, like, bong.
Clang.
It's like, why did you do this?
So anyway, moving back to the guitar, Shawn Mendes is a...
I want to talk about Titanic some more.
My heart will go on and on.
Yeah. Paint me like one of your French girls.
Someone
clip that. Please clip that.
just to confirm, Shawn Mendes was indeed not born. No, wait, 8th of August 1998. Shawn Mendes was not born when Titanic came out.
97 Titanic, right?
90. 23rd of January 98, so start right. of start. Anyway, that's all kind of neither here nor there. Shawn Mendes is a 22-year-old singer songwriter, has been in the pop game for a few years now. I did a quick bit of Googling because clearly, being a grubby, miserable emo, I didn't know anything about Shawn Mendes.
God, he has incredible pecs. I'm just looking at a beach photo shoot of him now.
So there's quite a lot going on here, which is very cool about the guitar. So first of all, let's talk about who he is and what this is. So Shawn Mendes I think first number one was like at the age of 15 or something, was what I read. So I mean, that's pretty mad. Has had one of the youngest people to have consecutive number ones.
He looks like me.
Joe, no, not really. I'm not sure that's true. I've got to be honest. I do apologise. I don't think he does.
I'd apologise to Shawn Mendes. That's all
right. Yeah, that's who you need to apologise to.
But anyway, the thing that's cool about, one of the cool things about the guitar is this isn't actually the Shawn Mendes signature Music Master. This is actually the Shawn Mendes Foundation signature Music Master. So basically, the guitar has been released in collaboration with and in support of the Shawn Mendes Foundation, which is a charitable organization that Shawn Mendes set up last year at the age of like 21, set up a $1 million charitable organization that focused on that was aimed at focusing on issues that are really, you know, close to the hearts of his fans. So one of the things that I read about it was on a big tour that he did at the back end of last year. He worked with a company called Reverb.org, which I think is different from any other reverbs that we may be aware of.
And
what they did was they eliminated any single-use plastics from this big tour that he did. And they reckon that it saved something like 70,000 single-use plastics from this tour that he was doing. So, you know, they're kind of aiming at like targeting issues that are that affect people who are into Shawn Mendes. So, you know, I guess Generation Z, you know, people considerably younger than us, so stuff that they're into. So I think that's really cool. Another thing that's really interesting is the artwork on this guitar, which is really cool, is was done by a fan. So this is like fan art. I guess probably there was some sort of competition. I don't really know how that all came about, but it's this really nice floral pattern. It looks like if you're just looking at it, if you just at passing, it kind of looks a bit like paisley, but it's not paisley at all. It's all flowers, and it looks really pretty. And then there's like a wood patterned pickguard on there as well, which is really cool. The other thing that's really interesting about this is Shawn Mendes is like 6'3". So I don't think that the decision to do a Music Master is based around him. I think it's been based around, right, I want to make a guitar that people who like my music will be able to play, because there's probably not that many 6'3" Shawn Mendes fans out there. So I think that's really nice. You know, he's gone for a guitar that people with like smaller hands and you know, younger people generally would be able to play, which I think is a really nice little touch. Now, onto the actual specs of the guitar. I guess it kind of follows along with what Fender has done with kind of the like the player offset series, or the player offset guitars. So it's a Music Master, which is a bit of an interesting choice of name. I'm not really sure why it's a Music Master, because Music Master is single pickup. But I guess this is... Yeah, no, because this is an HS, so you've got a player humbucker in the neck, and then a Tex-Mex Strat single coil in the bridge, and the humbucker can be split, which is super useful. And 9.5-inch radius...
Yeah, other than that, it's like a pretty, you know, it's what you expect from a Geosonic or from a Music Master or from a from
Mustang.
It's very
cool indeed.
I think it looks wicked. The body in particular. I've seen a lot of people complaining that they don't like the look of the pit guard. I disagree. I think the plate looks great. I think it looks really, really cool.
I'd love it if it had a mint guard, which wouldn't be that difficult to change. I think just personally, that for me would suit it better. But I love the finish of the body. It looks like like some sort of, like a book about flowers drawings.
Yeah,
sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
They're like
yeah.
illustrations of flowers. It's such a fantastic, like such a novel, original, like tasteful but complex finish. I'm really into it.
My only complaint about how it looks is I know it's the logo for the Shawn Mendes Foundation on the neck plate, but it really looks like when something isn't loading correctly on a MacBook or something. It looks like the loading wheel, and it's like, yeah, this neck plate hasn't loaded yet.
Maybe, you know, that's something that is an issue that affects Generation Z.
And it is. I mean, they've all got 10-year-old MacBooks. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they see that a lot. That's why they connect with it. I see.
So
it, yeah, it
there
works.
You go. That's one of the big things to try and get fixed. But no, I think this is cool. And, you know, this is another in the line of kind of Fender doing signature models for like non-traditional kind of guitar heroes, I guess, which is something that we have talked about a lot over the years through Guitar Nerds and through GAC podcasts, of like kind of championing the new guitar heroes. And I think this is really cool. I think it's an interesting, really interesting spec, and yeah, great looking guitar.
Yeah, very much so. Indeed, super cool. Now we should introduce our new patrons for this week. I normally do that at the start and I totally forgot to, so we should we should introduce them. Welcome to Ian Morton. Thank you for joining us. To Joachim. To Zach Melton, who joins us at the $10 tier. To Jonathan Dedekind. Yeah, I'm going with that. Jonathan Dedekind. And to Lachlan McLennan and Dave Prozza. Welcome, everyone who has joined us on the Patreon. That's a lot of people this week. We are getting...
Is that six people?
Yeah, we're getting very close.
Surely it must be mod mode. I thought we were five people away last week.
Well, it depends what tier people join at. But yes, we are getting close to the old mod mode. We are very nearly there. So it's just around the corner. We're going to have to actually start planning it. Oh, well, we have started planning it. It's going to be fine. Nah. Anyway.
Couldn't be a more difficult time to have to do it. A feature that requires multiple people in the same room at the same time.
The bigger question is, what do we do after that?
Well, that's the thing,
post-mod,
isn't it?
Like, mode.
I feel like you need to come up with a new tier, Joe, to put in there. Like, what's the next thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe will come and do, after lockdown, Joe will come and do your like laundry.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm up for that. Yeah.
No, that.
I'll do it by hand.
In a stream. Yeah. No, maybe like vacuuming. Maybe, yeah, Joe will come and do vacuuming in your house.
I'll come and vacuum pack myself. It'll be great.
What does that mean?
Sounds very,
you know,
odd.
You vacuum pack like stuff that goes under your bed, like clothes that you don't wear.
Oh, Joe, this is a different level of, yeah, I'm not really sure this is, this needs to be behind the paywall if you're going to talk about this sort of stuff, I tell you.
Okay, well, all right, well, it is time for the quiz. Anyway, we're going to move on to this week's Guitar Nerds quiz. It's going to be
I think we should highlight the fact, Joe, that you were concerned that the quiz was, like, you know, easing back into the quiz. I can respect that, but you have had about three extra weeks to, you know, write a quiz that was going to last the full hour. People wanted an hour's worth of quiz. They didn't want Matt talking about amps. They didn't want me talking about news. They certainly didn't want you talking about what you get up to in your spare time. They wanted the quiz, and I think that you need to take this more seriously.
Okay, I apologise.
Thank
I
you.
Apologize.
On behalf of the listeners, of which I can assure you I've never been one, I accept your apology.
Well, I assure you I'm going to make this as good as possible. In this quiz, we're going to have, in no particular order, such rounds as Okidokio Tokyo, Show Me Your Credentials, and Pink the Unpinkable. There are going to be some wonderful rounds. That's right. There'll also be turbo rounds where people can double their points. They can slight a competitor. and they can also sit out further rounds with extra points.
It's, can I sit out the quiz with extra points?
Well, maybe, Matthew, maybe if you win round three, that would be a possibility. So,
I've got to say, I feel particularly not confident about this. I feel like with the weather being the way it is and just kind of the way of the world at the moment, I feel like my mind is just a bit mushy and I'm not sure that I'm gonna say it. I don't think I'm gonna do very well this time around.
This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergold Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergold Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist Magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original.
I think you will. I've got every confidence in you, Jay. I think
you
always surprise everyone in the quiz and often win. So I believe in
you. Yeah, that is true. That is true. People think I'm an idiot, and I am, but you know,
just in other ways.
Just
won more quizzes than anyone else, Jay Cross, I reckon.
I reckon probably. Yeah.
Okay, so here we are. Round one. Round one is going to be Pink the Unpinkable. Welcome to round one. Pink the Unpinkable, a round all about pink guitars. Now, in this round, there will be no point passing. It's going to be very simple. Each of you will have three questions in succession. So no point passing. So everyone can only get a maximum of 3 points and a minimum of 0. Mark Packham, let's start with you.
Wait, what are the rules of this round?
You just have to answer the question. It's multiple choice in this case. Pink the Unpinkable, multiple choice. I'm going to ask you three questions. You've got a multiple choice for each of them. I'll tell you what the multiple choice is. You answer me the question and you get a point. Are you ready?
How are people playing along at home? Are they picking?
I would choose your person. Whether you want to be Mark, Matt or Jay in this quiz. Okay, here we go. Round one in Pink the Unpinkable. Mark Packham, question one. What is the pickup configuration of the Charvel ProMod DK24 in satin shell pink? Is it HH, HSH or HSS?
I think it is HSS.
That, Mark Packham, is completely correct.
Yes.
Well done. Well done. Mark Packham
still got it.
Straight in there with 1 point.
He's off the mark.
He's off the mark, as it were. Question two, Mark Packham. Are you ready? Do you feel ready for this?
Hit me.
Okay. Fender released the Offset Mustang in a limited edition shell pink finish back in 2017. But what were the controls for the reissue? Was it volume and tone on a rotary and a three-way pickup selector, volume and tone with an individual pickup selector switch for each pickup, or volume and tone with three individual pickup switches, one for each pickup and a master bass cut?
Volume and tone with a three-way selector switch.
That is correct. Mark Packham.
Boom!
Really? Two questions in and two questions correct. Oh, he's off.
I know
to
that because Jay's
start.
Got one, and I just pictured him holding it and banging out the same chords that he always bangs out. And I was thinking, even though it's not plugged in, he's definitely flipping that freeway switch because that's what you do when you're trying a guitar.
Yes, that is exactly what he does. Okay, question three. The last question for you in this first round, Pink the Unpinkable, Mark Packham. The Ibanez AS63. Was a fantastic, affordable 335 style hollow body that, of course, came in some amazing pastel colours, such as coral pink. But what were the other colours in the range? Were they surf green, mint blue, and twilight orange, surf green, mint blue, and seafoam green, or surf green, mint blue, and rocker red?
I'm going to go with the last one because I don't think there'd be two greens in there. I think it's okay. Surf so green, the blue, and the red.
I think the red. Okay. Mark Packham, you are incorrect. It was twilight orange, I'm afraid.
I'm very sorry.
But you did well. Two out of three possible points.
That's good. I'm in good standing.
That is good standing. Jay Cross, you
Hello.
Are next on my little list of three questions in the round. Pink the Unpinkable. So here we go. The Ibanez Steve Vai Gem Jr. is available in a wonderful hot pink for less than $500. It's incredibly cool, super affordable, and it's a wonderfully weird guitar to have at that price point. Whilst Ibanez have retained so many of the Gem's premium features, but what is the name given to Steve Vai's unique fretboard inlays? Is it the Winding Vines, the Tree of Life, or the Leafy Lays?
The Tree of Life?
The Tree of Life is correct, Jay Cross. The
cool.
Tree
okay, so
of
I'm,
Life.
Okay, I'm just gonna jump ahead, jump in you there, I'm afraid, Joe, because it is the Tree of Life, but I'm gonna pick apart the fact that you said that this is unique to Steve to this guitar, because it's not at all. The Tree of Life is the thing that Ibanez have done on a lot of their guitars, and not only their guitars, and this is why I know this, because they always did a strap, which is why I know it's the Tree of Life, because they did the Tree of Life strap that had the vines on it. So, I'll take your points, and then I'll take another one for correcting you as well.
Well, I stand corrected, but I certainly won't give you another point. I'll certainly think twice about entering you into the fucking extra round, though. But
I always thought when you said that, Jay, I was like, oh no, you know, Tree of Life. Yeah, it was not obviously just that guitar, but I was like, oh no, it's always Steve Vai guitars, but it's not. I just look now, and there's couple of different. Yeah, yeah, AR60s and the artist series stuff. Yeah, I didn't realize.
I mean,
any
good guitar nerd would know that, surely.
Sure. fine. Okay, very well. I am looking at the write-up that I got this from right now, and it does say Steve Vai's Tree of Life in the write-up, which is
unless he was in Dorsey playing AR guitars in the 70s,
right,
Joe
right,
Brandon,
sure.
That isn't true.
Very well. Okay, question two for Jay Cross. The the Schecter Nick Johnston is an incredibly cool take on an S-style guitar. Shell pink, mint guard, gorgeously tinted maple neck, but what quintessential Strat control feature did he change? A three-way instead of a five-way, a single tone control instead of two, or an added kill switch?
I have absolutely no idea, so I'm going to guess the single tone control.
That is absolutely correct. A common change when people are, you know, modernizing or alterating classic Stratocasters is to lose that second tone control. Certainly something that Music Man have done on the Cutlass range, and it is very much something that Nick Johnson did on his Schecter. It's a gorgeous guitar, Jay. You should absolutely check it out. I think it's fantastic.
I shall.
So Jay is 2 points level with Mark Packham, and one question left in Pink the Unpinkable. Here we are. Later. Oh, yes. Okay.
You're right.
Yes. I was reading the question. I was like, that doesn't make sense, but it does. I wrote this quiz some time ago. Okay. Later this year, a limited edition Gibson Standard SG in shell pink with a torque guard is set to make its way into select UK shops. But what US shop was the pink masterpiece originally designed exclusively for? Was it Sweetwater, Guitar Center, or Chicago Music Exchange?
It's got to be CME, isn't it?
That's absolutely correct. J. Cross.
Ding, ding, ding.
Pushing ahead there with 3 points. Full points so far on Pink the Unpinkable. Well done, J. Cross.
Thanks, Jay.
Matt Knight, are you ready?
No.
Okay.
Please give
I'll give you a
time.
Minute.
you just let me know.
I need to load up Google.
Okay.
Okay, let's go. I'm aiming for half point.
Okay. Matt Knight, what Nick Huber guitar does Matt Knight own? okay. Matt, what guitar from the Squire Paranormal series is available in shell pink with a perloid plate? Is it the Cyclone, the Offset Telecaster, or the Cabronita?
Cyclone.
That is correct, Matt Knight. Well done. It is, of course, the Cyclone, looking absolutely gorgeous with its three slightly offset pickups and a perloid guard. Very cool indeed. Okay, second question. Matt Knight, the PRS Silver Sky isn't quite available in shell pink, but they've come very close. And what is the name of that finish? Is it Mulberry Mist, Midnight Rose, or Flash Pink?
I'm going to go with Midnight Rose.
That is correct. Yes, absolutely.
I love John Mayer.
That is correct. The sort of metallic mauve finish they have opted for, they have gone for the name Midnight Rose. And it does look very
metallic
good
mauve
indeed.
Would have been a good name, actually.
Oh, yeah, that is
Mulberry
true.
Mist is a colour on something, isn't it?
It's Reverend. They were all colours.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
so
of course.
Flash Pink's a Jackson colour, I think.
Yeah.
But Mulberry Mist is a Reverend colour. You're absolutely right. Mulberry Mist is their version of Burgundy Mist.
Yes, we talked about it a few weeks ago.
Yes, we did. And Midnight Rose is very similar, to be honest. It's probably a little bit more pinky than the Burgundy Mist thing, but it's very nice. Third question for you, Matt Knight, and your chance to draw with J. Cross and so be entered into the turbo round at the end of round one. The limited edition Fender Player Jaguar is available in shell pink with a torque guard, but what pickup configuration have Fender gone for in this model, their most affordable Jaguar? Is it HH, SS, or HS?
I'm going to go with HS.
That, Matthew Knight, is completely correct. Yes, it is rather odd, but Fender have gone for a completely different pickup configuration in their Player Jaguar to bring it into the modern world. And HS is the configuration they have opted for, meaning that J. Cross and Matt Knight have both finished Pink the Unpinkable, a round all about pink guitars, with full points. And so the two of you are entered into a turbo round. Now, because two people have had the same score, there is a coin toss right now to decide
what?
Who goes into... Yeah, I'm sorry.
What?
Toss the coin.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So there is only one person can go into each turbo round. So it does come down to chance every time. So I have entered both Matt and Jay into...
If I was hosting this quiz, I would have put together a tiebreaker, but you know, that's just me. So.
Well, it's difficult to put together a tiebreaker when things like that are based on like speed of answering. So at the end of every round, you're going to get the chance to be, entered into this wheel of chance, which I am now spinning right now. And Matthew Knight, you have won and moved forward.
V-A-R.
You have moved forward into the turbo round for this, for round
like
one,
the,
Pink the Unpinkable.
Is that like the turbo button on those old, like, third-party, like, Mega Drive controllers? No one really knew what they did. You just pressed it and hoped it would do something.
I think it's more like a turbo shandy.
My favourite of all the drinks.
Weak lager and a
WKD,
yeah.
Wow. There we go. Okay, so, Matt, you're into the turbo round. Now, the turbo round is really a turbo question. You're going to be asked one question.
And I feel less cheated now, I've got to be honest. Yeah.
If you get this question right, you can double your points for the next round.
Woof.
Okay. Ooh. So if you get this right, spicy. Every question you answer will be worth 2 points in the next round. Here we go. Okay. In 1959, Gibson released the Melody Maker, a near perfect budget single pickup, single cut, available in Sunburst only until 1964. What color did they introduce in 1964 but cancel in 1965?
Wow. Oh, I'm going to go with...
He's Googling. I can hear it. He's Googling.
I'm going to go with TV yellow. But I'm not sure if that's the right answer.
The answer, unfortunately, is cherry red, Matt Knight. Oh. That means no additional points were gained in this turbo round, so you will go through into the next round with the same amount of points. So, Jay, you've lost nothing. You and Matt are both going through into the second round
with the same
amount of points.
I would say turbo, not even turbo. It was just like
call
a
it?
Question.
Just bonus. Quick, should I
just
call
a bonus
it? Bonus question.
Question. Yeah.
I thought turbo
question.
Round sounded better, but I'll call it bonus question
double
for the next one.
Double your score. Question.
Okay. Right, here we are.
The
round
old
two.
Double your score question.
Round two is called Show Me Your Shredentials. No?
I don't think there's going to be much to show, if I'm honest, Joe, because this round is clearly about shredder guitars. Shredder.
Yes, that is true. Now, for round two, I'm afraid, once again, we're going for a similar format. There's going to be no point passing. There will be later on, I assure you. But in this round, I am giving each of you two brands, and I am going to name three guitars, each from one of those brands, and you have to tell me which brand that guitar is from. Okay?
Oof. Okay.
So, Mark Packham, your two brands are Schecter and Framus.
Okay.
Matt Knight, your two brands are BC Rich and Washburn. And Jay Cross, your two brands are Jackson and Harley Benton.
Okay.
Here we go. All right, Mark Packham, round one for you. Here we are. Schecter or Framus for you, Mark. Question one, the Diablo Supreme.
That is Framus.
That is completely correct. Mark Packham storming ahead there with a single point.
He's equaling the points that me and Matt got on the previous round.
I'm catching up. He's the tortoise.
I'm playing the long game.
I see. Yes, absolutely. Okay, question two for Mark Packham here. Schecter or Framus? The Banshee.
That is Schecter.
Oh, that is correct. Mark Packham up with 2 points, full points so far. Can he do what he couldn't do in the last round and make it a full three? The Panthera.
That is Framus.
Mark Packham, full points on this round for you. Well done. You absolutely showed us your credentials there.
I hate this.
Well done. A full 3 points. Jay Cross, you're next up. Do you remember your brands?
Yeah, Jackson and Harley Benton.
Jackson and Harley Benton, that is correct. Question...
I wrote them down just so that I wouldn't forget.
Wonderful. Okay, here we are. Question one. The Amarok.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness.
If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Harley Benton?
That is correct, J. Cross. Well done. 1 point. You're in line to take Mark out. Here we are.
Take him out where?
To dinner.
I'm up for
that's
it.
The prize. That's
not
the prize.
Oh, that's the prize, yeah.
The winner gets to take
out,
Mark
know?
Out for
yeah,
dinner.
Yeah.
Vodka reps.
Vodka reps. I think we all went there once. It was horrible.
I think we did all win.
They had a really good vegan menu for a short period of time. I don't know if they still do.
Then you just ate it and then they were like, oh, I can't bother to restock that.
Question two. Jay Cross, the shadow caster.
Jackson.
That is correct, J. Cross. I mean, you had 2 points there. And lastly, the fusion tea.
Harley Benton.
Correct again, J. Cross is ahead of Mark Packham now with 3 points. But this round we will be dealing with, you know, just the this round's points at the end when we move on to the turbo question. You know, so the two of you are, have drawn at the moment. You'll be in the name spin at the end. Can Matt Knight join you in the name spin? Matthew Knight, your brands, BC Rich or Washburn?
Okay. Hit
the, the parallax.
That is Washburn.
That is correct. The parallax certainly is Washburn. A wonderful range of guitars. Next up, the Shredzilla.
I'm going to go BC Rich on that one.
Absolutely. You are completely correct.
Shredzilla.
That can't be real.
That's what they call me.
I tell you what, I've just Googled it. The Shredzilla is surprisingly conservative.
I'm going to have a look.
Considering the name.
Yes, yeah, it is.
I started typing BC Rich and it said BC Richmond. I was like, I think that might be a football club or something.
And the third one for you, Matthew Knight, the Idol.
Ooh. I think that's BC Rich as well.
It is, in fact, Washburn, Matt Knight.
Oh!
So you're finishing this round with 2 points, meaning that Mark Packham and Jay Cross are going to go into the head-to-head Wheel of Name Spin to see if they'll be entered into the turbo round.
Is it just you flipping a coin?
No, well, I've got a little like name spinner thing. I could flip a coin.
Well, just do what you
need. Is it the same thing you use for the yes. When the giveaways? Yeah. But that's fixed.
Don't tell people that. Okay, so can Jay be more lucky this time? Mark and Jay spinning round and round they go. Jay, you're in luck. Jay has been passed through. I'm
sorry.
You should
have fixed it to make it more dramatic because I'm behind in the points.
No, no.
Yeah, I see. I understand.
No showmanship.
Okay. Yeah, there's no narrative involved here, as you can tell.
So now, Jay Cross, you have been entered into this turbo question. Now, once again, if you get this right, you can double your points for the next round. Or the other thing you could do is remove any double points from a competitor. But of course, no one No one was successful in doubling their points for the previous round, so you don't have to worry about that. You can just double your points for the next round. Here we go. The Gibson Melody Maker was also available as the Melody Maker D. What differs between the standard Melody Maker and the Melody Maker D?
What differs between the standard Melody Maker and the Melody Maker D? I don't know.
Take time.
All right, I'm thinking.
It's a turbo round.
This is the Mark Packham approach to answering questions. The Melody Maker D.
There's nothing turbo about this, mate.
I'm going to say that the Melody Maker D had two pickups.
That is completely correct, Jacobs. Often confused as being the double cut version of the Melody Maker. The D is for double pickup.
Yeah.
And yes, the Melody Maker D did have two pickups. That means, J Cross, for the next round, you will be able to double your points.
Double my points. Blooming lovely.
Does it not get harder questions? Like, surely it would make sense to have harder questions.
Why would that make sense?
Because, you know, you've got to earn those extra points, Jay.
I've just earned those extra points by answering every single question that I've been asked so far correctly. That is how I've earned those extra...
There was a lot of guessing in there, Jay.
What are you talking about? Listen, mate, a guess is just a question that you...
Don't know the answer to.
So round three, we're calling Okidokio Tokyo, and it is going to be a round all about one of my favourite subjects, Japanese guitars. You know, specifically sort of 70s, 80s.
Very specifically, Japanese. A 71 to 72 era in Japan.
Yes, exactly.
Which, by the way, you can check out at reverb.com/...
Harley Quinn Guitar Club.
Yeah. Yes, these are oddly all based around guitars that I have in my shop or have had. But anyway, that's not the point. For the first time in round three, Okidokio Tokyo, you can win a point if the answerer doesn't answer. So there will be point passing in this. So we'll be going round the room with this, starting with Mark and finishing with Matt. Let's start the ball rolling with Mark Packham. Jay, you'll get double points for every question. That includes if you answer past questions.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, Okay, no, don't worry. That's fine.
What?
No. That's fine. That's fine.
Are you ready? Okay. Here we are. Mark Packham, the oddly named Greco early 60s, is Greco's version of what famous instrument?
The early 60s, the Greco early 60s is a, I'm going to say, an SG.
That is incorrect, unfortunately, Mark Packham. It is.
Wait, are you not passing it on?
Oh.
And it's a Strat. I know it's a
You're
Strat.
Unbelievable.
No, I knew it's a Strat.
I forgot.
I knew it's a Strat because you had one, Joe. You had an early 60s Strat.
Those points are void.
I messed it up. That point is definitely void.
Oh,
absolutely.
No way.
I'm so sorry,
Jay.
It is
outrageous. That's two points for me should have been.
I love how the host forgot his own rules.
Unbelievable.
This is a lot to remember, Mark Packham.
Unbelievable.
I'm not cowed for this sort of memory.
You had, Joe, I knew this straight away. Because you had a natural early 60s big headstock. It looked wicked. I thought about buying it. I knew that answer, and Mark should have known that answer. The only reason he doesn't know that answer is because he doesn't care about you as much as I do.
You can't have those points either way.
There's no way I can give them to him,
no!
But he is right. I'm
God.
So sorry. I'm so
I'm
sorry,
so
Jacob.
I'm so angry.
I feel like I've let everyone down,
this
really.
This is an
here.
Outrage. This is
this
an outrage.
This is bad. Okay, Jay, you can definitely still, you know, make the most of this. Jay, your question is, what is the original Tokai name for their Les Paul copy?
The Love Rock?
That is correct, Jay Cross. 2 points straight off of the bat there.
Two,
well
just
done.
Two. Okay, fine, just two.
Okay, I'm never going to live this down. Okay, fine, here we are. Matt Knight, are you ready?
Yes.
What brand name do Fernandez give to their Gibson-style instruments?
What brand name?
if Matt doesn't get it, do we jump in or is it going around the room?
Okay, it will go round the room.
I don't think any of these questions should be passable.
No,
after
they
the, after
are.
The first after
yeah,
the first
Joe no, I, is an idiot.
Joe, can I have the question again?
Matthew, what yes. brand name do Fernandez give to their Gibson style instruments?
Pass. I have no
idea. That's coming
actually,
round to you, Mark Peckham.
No idea.
I don't know. I'm going to say...
Loser.
I know it's not right, but I'm going to go with Edwards.
Hernandez.
That would be what ESP
gave,
but
okay.
unfortunately not Fernandez, which means it's coming round to you, Jay Cross.
Oh, wait, this one, I can answer this one.
Well, yeah, because
so
those are the rules.
Oh, okay, right, gotcha. Okay, we're following the rules on this one, just not the previous one. No, that's fine. I also don't know, so I'm going to take a ill-educated stab in the dark because, you know, why not? And I'm going to say... Bernie!
That is completely correct.
Yes!
You know, this question was so simple. I thought about not putting it in because I thought everyone knows that Fernandez are Bernie and Bernie are Fernandez.
I didn't know that at all, and I thought it was...
Is that true?
Yes.
It is completely true.
Has that
Listen,
always
Mark,
been true?
Mark, do not question Joe Branton, the foremost Japanese guitar expert for guitars made between, you know, roughly... 1972 to 1984.
Our aim on this podcast is to educate people more than it is to give points to fellow hosts. So, Mark, if you want to go on a crusade to work out whether or not that was correct, feel free to use Google for the rest of the quiz.
I will.
But until you come back to me disproving that, I will give Jay those 2 points, meaning Jay has 4 and Mark and Matt have 0 so far. Here we go. Right. Where
it's me.
Where are we? Yes, Mark Peckham. Mark Peckham. In the late 60s, Greco patented Shrike pickups and Shrike pickup system. Can you tell me what was unique about the Shrike pickups?
When was it patented?
In the late 60s. Very early for Greco.
I'm going to say they were active.
Unfortunately, no. They were actually boomerang
why
shaped.
Are you doing...
Oh, no!
Why are you giving it away?
You're so bad. That is... I cannot believe there is a vendetta against me. That's the second time that should have come to me. Unbelievable!
I am so sorry. I am the worst host.
This is why you shouldn't drink.
I am like this is honestly.
No one would have got this one. This was a hard question. You either knew or you didn't. I'm standing by that. Jay Cross.
Charles Ingram, I know just how you feel, my friend. Major Charles, you and me, mate, we've been...
I'll try and remember not to do this anymore. Okay, here we go. Jay Cross. The springy sound is the name of a Tokai guitar produced throughout the 70s. But what American instrument does it closely imitate? The answer is the... Oh, sorry.
I'm going to say Jazzmaster.
That is incorrect.
Oh, wow. How about that? How far in are we to this quiz and I've finally got a question wrong? How weird.
I pass it round to Matt Knight. The springy sound is the name of a Tokai guitar produced throughout the 70s. But what American instrument does it closely imitate?
How about the Jaguar?
That is incorrect. I pass it round again to Mark Peckham.
Is it the Fender Stratocaster?
That is completely correct. Mark Peckham scoring your first point in this round, leaving Matthew Knight behind you, eating the dirt from your heel.
Sure, go with that. There.
Yeah, okay, there's that. Well done. So you score a point, and it comes back around. Does it come back around to you? Yes, no. Where is it going?
That was the question for me.
Matthew, are you ready?
Yes.
What Japanese brand uses the series name Super Reel? What Japanese brand uses the serial name, or the series name, Super Real?
Super Real. Damn. I do not know.
Is that your final answer?
It is, yes. I'm afraid so. I'm out.
Okay.
No coughing in the background, so I can't get my answer.
Okay, well, that comes back around to you,
Peter
Mark Packham.
Super Real, I'm going to say, is Ibanez.
That is incorrect, and it comes around to you, J-Cross.
Can I please ask how Real is spelled?
It's R-E-A-L.
Oh, okay, fine. I wasn't sure if it was... Like if this was
like
a
fishing or something.
Well, I'm meant more like, you know, like a tape echo, like a tape reel.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that
but would make yeah, more fishing, sense. Fishing. I guess also. Yeah, it spells the same. Spells the same. Oh, we've mentioned fish, so the seagulls are going mad. I don't know the answer to this, so I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say, because we haven't mentioned them yet, Orville.
That is incorrect. Unfortunately, it is Greco, and that is a name that they gave to a number of their Fender style instruments. Okay, and we're coming round the room to Mark Packham.
Hello.
Mark, are you ready for this?
Hit me.
Supergrade was the name of a Les Paul style guitar by which Japanese brand?
Was it Yamaha?
That is incorrect. And this time I have remembered not to answer. J-Cross.
I don't know.
Supergrade.
I don't know. So I'm going to take a stab in the dark and I'm going to say Orville because we haven't mentioned them yet.
That is incorrect.
Oh, damn. That'll work at some point.
Yeah. I was going to say that.
Supergrade. I mean, I will say, why would Orville use a different name for a Les Paul when they had the rights to use the name Les Paul? But, you know, that aside.
Yeah, fair point.
I'm going to go with Tokai.
Unfortunately, the answer was in fact Bernie. Bernie made
bloody
these
Bernie
super grade. Yes, yes, indeed. I apologize. Matt Knight really not performing on this round, but that's okay. There is all to play for. J-Cross. Are we on J-Cross's?
Yes, J now.
Yeah, it's me now.
This is very confusing for me. Okay, Bernie started making Gibson-style instruments in 1969, but what Gibson model didn't appear until their 1975 catalogue? A tough question.
What Gibson model did not...
So Bernie started making Gibson-style instruments in 1969, but they only made some. They omitted one, which they introduced in their 1975 catalogue, a full 6 years after they'd been making other Gibson guitars.
Yeah.
Gibson-style guitars.
I'm going to assume it's the 335.
That is incorrect. Oh. We're moving around to you, Matt Knight.
Can I have the question again, please?
Bernie started making Gibson-style instruments in 1969, but what Gibson model didn't appear until their 1975 catalogue?
I'm going to go with the SG.
That, unfortunately, is also incorrect, meaning that it comes round to you, Mark Packham.
So a Gibson model.
Gibson model. So Bernie had started making Gibson-style instruments in 69. They'd done a few models from the range, but there was an omission.
Don't give anything else away, Joe. Don't.
This one appeared in their 1975
Make sure you
catalog.
Don't, you know.
Was it the Flying V?
It was not. Unfortunately, you're incorrect. Believe it or not.
Does that come around again?
No, that is it.
Because the only one that's really left is the Les Paul, so...
It was the Les Paul. But if you think about it, in 1969, you know, the Les Paul wasn't, you know, really sort of the legendary instrument it is today. And it took a little while until 75 for them to bother including it in the range, which was...
That is weird. I mean, when did it come back? It was 68 it came back, wasn't it?
The Les Paul?
Yes.
Yeah, the Les Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it seems weird that they'd wait that period of time. So what was first then? SGs?
Yeah, so they were doing, like SGs Firebirds, believe it or not, and like a couple of the hotter bodies as well. Huh. But yeah, the Les Paul, which ended up being the absolute backbone of what Bernie made, and a lot of people consider of all the Japanese companies that the Bernie ones were the best. They didn't actually make them until quite late. And apparently, from what I can read on a lot of the sort of Japanese instrument websites, the early, like the 1970s Bernies really were not very good at all in comparison to what they produced later. Where other brands really were excelling, certainly in the late 70s, like companies like Tokai were really excelling in making versions of the Les Paul. Matt Knight.
I need a point.
You need a point here. Okay.
I need a pint.
I could do with one of those as well.
Matt Knight, what was the name given to Tokai's range of acoustic guitars?
Oh. The big ones with holes in.
Is that your answer?
I literally have no idea.
No, okay. No problem. No, I wondered if you would know because you actually, we had a look at one at my house when you came
around.
Yeah,
but I don't pay attention.
No problem. Okay. It comes around to you, Mark Packham. What was the name given to Tokai's range of acoustic guitars?
I don't know the answer, but I've got a feeling it's something like Martinez or something like that.
Right. Okay. That's incorrect. Jay Cross, it comes around to you.
This is the actual brand name, not the series name.
Yes. Yes. In fact, this particular name is after it does say Tokai Gaki, but it has a name before that.
Right. Okay. I've got no idea. No, I've got.
You're not
Ibanez.
Get it
Ibanez.
It's in fact Cat's Eyes, and they do.
I do remember seeing that.
Incredible sort of like appropriations of Martin. I think it's easy to sort of, you see so many electric guitar imitations. It's easy to sort of go, oh, this one's really good. This one's not so good. But on acoustics, like, I think it's really something to see an instrument that's kind of an imitation of something else and be like, oh, this is actually, every bit as good. And those old Tokai Cat's Eyes were absolutely incredible. By now at Harlequin Guitars. I don't actually have any of those. Okay, so Jay Cross, you stormed ahead in that round thanks to your doubling of points, which means that the turbo question goes straight to you in this round. Yes, indeed. So the turbo question, we don't need to coin toss for it, is in this round, you can double your points for the next round, Jay. Mm-hmm. You could have removed a competitor's previous round of double points, but no one else other than you have had them. Mm-hmm. Or you have the option to sit out the next round with full points, but no doubles. Okay?
Okay.
Is that understood?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Okay, I'm in. So my two options are continue as normal.
Your two options are yes.
If I get it correct. So how many questions are in the next round?
So in the next round, it's the same as every other. So there are three. So if you got two out of three questions in the next round, you would have more points than if you opt to sit out the next round.
Yeah, fine. And also, because, I've got Marky Dingus Packham next to me here, so I also get to answer all of his questions correctly as well. So I'm in for a penny, in for a pound, that's what I say.
Okay, here we are. In 1966, the Gibson Melody Maker body shape was changed. What was the new Melody Maker shape?
Double cut.
Oh, I'm sorry, it was changed to an SG.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's double cut. That's what I meant. Instead of it just being the single cut like a Les Paul, it was turned into a double cut guitar.
A double cut SG.
Double cut SG. That's what I meant. That's what you guys understood, right?
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. Mark's got my back.
There we go. Well, okay.
Didn't know that. Interesting. Very interesting. That's... Every day's a school day here at Guitar Nerds.
Exactly. Okay, so we are moving into the final round of this quiz, which is called Accessories, Acoustics, and Auctions.
This is it. I'm in. This is me. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. This would have been a great round to
what
have double points.
What are the total points
in,
by the way?
At the moment,
no, I'm not sure. No, I think keep it a mystery. I think keep it a mystery.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll keep
I
it
like
a mystery.
The mystery.
Okay, here we are, round four. So again, there's going to be passing in this one. It will work exactly the same as the last round. Mark Packham, we're starting with you.
Good.
What is the thickest size you can order a gravity plectrum in?
Do I get a multiple choice?
No, this is just answers. This is just answers.
I don't know. 5 mil.
Unfortunately, that's incorrect. Jay Cross, it goes to you.
1.5 mil.
It was the thickest was the thing. That's incorrect. Matt Knight, it comes over to you.
Oh, I'm going with 6 mil.
6 mil is completely correct. Matt Knight storming ahead there with a point.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Jay Cross, what is the thickest size chicken pick you can order?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Three.
That is unfortunately incorrect, Jay Cross.
Okay.
It comes round to you, Matt Knight.
I'm going to go with 3.5.
3.5 is correct.
Oh!
Unfortunately, yes, Matt does in fact play the 3.5 shredder, which is available from
shredder.
Chicken Picks.
Shredder.
I will say that a 6 mil thick gravity pick is absolutely astounding. I want to get one of those because we've got a load of 1.5s and they are fantastic.
I actually thought that was a trick question, and I thought I didn't realize gravity did more than just the 1.5. Ah. I thought it was a bish bash bosh, you know.
Yeah, 1.5 is actually the thinnest, I believe, that the gravity plectrums go.
Gotcha.
Go for one right up. Okay, so next up is Matthew Knight. Matt Knight, what is the thickest size Hufschmid plectrum that you can order?
70 mil.
7 centimeters.
Yes.
That is incorrect.
Oh. I disagree.
What do you mean you disagree?
I disagree. I think I meant actually 7 mil, but no, I'm sticking with my answer.
You know that your answer's wrong, though.
Okay, so it's moving round to you, Mark Packham.
Is it because with these picks, like where's the thickness measured?
From the thickest point.
Around. It's circumference.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'm going to go 12 mil.
Unfortunately, incorrect. Jay Cross. Can you get yourself a point?
I'm going to say, because we talked about this, I'm going to say 35 mil.
Wow. Okay. No, that is incorrect. I would say that Mark Packham, you were the closest. 15 mil is the is the thickest size. That's available in the Mega Anvil from Hufschmid Plectrums, which is absolutely outstanding. 15 mil, what a ridiculous size for a plectrum. Okay, so Matt Knight has done really well so far. Mark Packham, question to you.
Yep. Is it about plectrums again?
No. So the round is called Accessories, Acoustics and Auctions.
Okay.
So the first three were accessories, second three acoustics, third three auctions. So here's your acoustic question, Mark Packham. What Gibson acoustic guitar is Robert Johnson famously associated with?
What are they called? They are called Gibson acoustic guitars.
I think you're gonna have to hurry him, Joe.
Aren't they called like a 00M or something?
That would be Martin, but
sure.
Okay. We move on to Jay Cross.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's the L2.
That unfortunately is incorrect. Matt Knight.
I think I'm gonna go with, because I thought it started with L, I'm going with L15.
Unfortunately, that's wrong as well. It was the L1.
Man.
A gorgeous, like, wonderful
so
blues
close.
Guitar. You were so close. Yeah, the L1 is an absolute cracker. We used to have one in GAC that I thought about buying every day. They're really cool. They look super cool. Really, like, boxy and oddly size, but like a ton of fun and not that much money actually for a Gibson acoustic, to be honest, comparatively. Jay Cross, question for you. There are 28 doves on a Gibson Doves in Flight, but how many are on the fretboard?
Oh my gosh.
20... You could think, yeah, you could think about this and count, you know, but I don't expect you to know. There are 28 doves on a Gibson Doves in Flight. So think about where they'd be on the guitar. But how many do you think are on the fretboard?
Six. Oh, no, that can't be right. Six.
That, unfortunately, is incorrect. It comes around to you, Matt Knight.
I'm going to go with...
There are 28 doves on a Gibson Doves in Flight.
I'm going to go with 18.
Unfortunately, that also is incorrect. It's a hard question to get. I would suggest trying to count fretboards a little bit or thinking about things like that. Mark Packham, it comes around to you.
Yeah, I'll just try and do the maths on it. I'm going to say there are 11.
Unfortunately, incorrect. There are 16 doves in flight on a fretboard because it's two and it starts at the first. There are 16 going the whole way down the board to the 15th or whatever it is. No, yeah, longer than
Wait,
that.
What?
The one after the 15th, 16th, 17th. But yes, there are. Does that make sense? But yeah, there are 16 in total on the fretboard.
Right, okay. I can't.
That is definitely right.
Figure that out, but yeah, sure. It's, okay.
But just for anyone who wants to try and picture it, it's 1, 3 on the frets, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 12, 15, and 17.
Two on each. And they're doubled on each of those.
Doubled on each.
Doubled on each, not just on the 12th.
No, yeah, doubled on each.
I literally don't think I've ever seen one of those guitars before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Doves in Flight. Wow, it's one of my absolute favourite Gibson acoustic. I think if I could have a Gibson acoustic, I would have that.
There's a lot of doves on this guitar.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I've just Googled Doves in Flight and you go to images, there's loads of flying birds. It's actually really soothing. I'm feeling stressed out at any point.
Matt Knight, question for you. The Gibson Hummingbird differed from all other Gibson dreadnoughts made before 1960. What was it that Gibson changed?
Oh, I think... it's the top wood. They use spruce instead of that. Some of the other woods.
That's incorrect. So coming round to you, Mark Packham, the Gibson Hummingbird differed from all other dreadnoughts made before 1960, but what was it that Gibson changed?
Is it that
Hummingbird unique?
Is it that it had a different colour top to the back and sides?
That also is incorrect. Although a good sort of obscure guess, though. It comes around to you, Jay Cross. The Gibson Hummingbird differed from all other dreadnoughts made before 1960. But what was it that Gibson changed?
Acoustic guitars. Hard.
Yeah. I know. I've got really into them recently. Sorry about this round.
Did it have different bracing?
That unfortunately is incorrect. What they changed was, well, it was their first ever square-shouldered dreadnought, very much an imitation of the Martins that were common at the time. But before that, all Gibson dreadnoughts were slope-shouldered. Mm-hmm. So the Hummingbird, which obviously went on to become their most popular dreadnought, was the first one that looked like a Martin, which is now, you know, just the popularised dreadnought shape. But at the time, Gibson were very much competing against that sort of Martin shape with their slope-shouldered, and it was the first time they sort of submitted to it as a, you know, as a more accessible shape, which is, I thought, pretty interesting. Mark Packham comes round to you. Okay,
what's
here we
this
are.
One again? It was accessories, auctions. Acoustics, and auctions. Okay.
Auctions. The Prince Angel Cloud recently went up for auction, but was eclipsed by the Kurt Cobain auction. How much did the Blue Cloud guitar fetch at auction? It has to be in dollars. I want this in dollars. And I don't expect the exact, individual digits. I will accept the correct, ballpark within
scientific.
Yeah, you know.
I'm going to say.
But what if someone else knows the exact figure?
Then I would say they got too much time on their hands.
No one's going to know the exact figures.
$4.5 million.
That is incorrect. It comes around to you, J. Cross.
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
The Prince Angel Cloud recently went up for auction, but it was eclipsed by the Kurt Cobain auction. How much did the Blue Cloud guitar fetch at auction?
$2.5 million.
That also is incorrect. We did talk about this on the podcast. Matt Knight, coming round to you. Of course, yes, you do, yes. The Matt Knight, the Prince Angel Cloud, recently went up for auction. How much did it go for?
$575,000.
Matthew Knight, I will accept your answer. It was $563,000, but you were, you know, absolutely on point there for, you know, the correct sort of ballpark.
He got like 15 grand change.
Yeah.
If that had been his offer, mate, you're getting change right there.
Fantastic. Yeah, I thought it was surprisingly little that it went for. It was in rough shape, like, comparatively. And I guess, you know, it's not necessarily the guitar that's synonymous
look like that,
with
mate.
Prince. But, yeah. Well, it was missing its bridge. It didn't have any strings on it. Like, it looked like it had been stored under a bed, you know, without a case. It really wasn't wonderful. But, nonetheless, a very cool and important guitar. J. Cross, next question for you. In 2006, the Reach Out to Asia Stratocaster was a Fender Strat caked in signatures from the world's greatest guitarists and musicians, but how much did it fetch at auction?
$1.5 million.
That is incorrect. In it comes round to you, Matt Knight.
I'm going to say $930,000.
Also incorrect. It comes down to you, Mark Packham, who I assume knows this one.
No, definitely don't. $2 million.
I'm going to give you that one, Mark
what?
Packham.
Yes.
It was 2.8 million.
2.8?
You could be 0.8 out. That's fine.
Mate, he's 100. He's nearly $1 million out. You can't give him that. If he'd said three, I maybe would have accepted that. But you're... That's almost 50% of the way out.
I got one of the numbers right.
I'm not having that at all. Not having that at all. Matty, what's your take on that?
What did you say, Jay?
I said 1.5. So I was also a long way off. But, you know, so was Mark, really. Let's think about it.
Yeah.
Mark was technically the closest.
That's not what you said, though. That's not what you said. You said the ballpark. Are you saying...
Yeah.
Are you saying that 2.8... So 2 million...
half Vulcan, half human.
Half man.
Jay, what's happened here is...
Half pig.
Joe has heard the number two and he's gone, that's sort of the right thing.
Yeah, that's close.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's exactly
what's Quizmaster, I'm choosing right now to overrule you all and give... Mark Packham the point. Matt Knight.
Absolute nonsense.
Yes.
Matt Knight, last question in this quiz. Are you ready to redeem your current performance?
Joe, do you remember when you didn't let me answer two of those questions of where I would have got 4 points because I knew the answers, and then you've just stolen this away from me. That's a 5-point swing.
Here is your chance, J. Cross. I believe in you. You can do this, but this is Matt's question, so he has to get it wrong first. Matt Knight, how much did Paul Allen of Microsoft pay to have Jimi Hendrix's white Woodstock Stratocaster placed at the Experience Music Project in Seattle, Jimi Hendrix's hometown?
$3.5 million.
That is incorrect. It comes around to you, Mark Packham.
So was the question how much did he pay to have it?
How much did it? Yeah, no, he bought it at auction.
Oh, okay, fine.
Okay.
But
that's what he chose to do with it.
Right. Okay, that's a different question. I thought he paid to have it on display, not buy it at auction.
He bought it at auction and put it on display.
Like Matthew, you know how you're always buying all these amps to put them on display in your house? It's just like that, you know?
I don't agree with the way that Joe phrased that question.
Okay. Okay. Well, I will take that into consideration when I'm adding up the points at the end. Mark Packham.
Yeah.
Mark Packham.
I'm going to say $750,000.
That is incorrect, and it comes around to you, J. Cross.
When was this?
It was like 2010, something like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to say $450,000.
That is incorrect, fellas. Unfortunately, it was $2 million.
That's how much. So close to saying 2.8, and I would have got it. Yeah.
Well, there we are. So 0 points there, which means for the first time ever in a round, Jay scored zero in that last round. Matt taking that round by storm with a whopping 3 points. Now, I'm just going to add up your scores, boys, and come back to you with the results. So, you know, please talk amongst yourselves about the incredible performance that I have made on this week's quiz.
How long ago did you write this quiz, Jay? That's what I want to know.
A few weeks. A few weeks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess you probably wrote for the time.
My favourite bit about this podcast was when, actually before we started, when Joe said, boys, I'm telling you, we need to do about 20 minutes beforehand because there's no way this quiz is going to last an hour.
I know, and now we're...
And me, Mark and Matt all said, this is definitely going to last an hour. And yeah, an hour and 24 nearly.
Oh, really? Is that what's happened here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, perhaps I should go with a ballpark figure, something you might understand. Yeah, it's been about 45 minutes, Joe.
Right. Okay. I'm
Man
sorry.
Man counts quiz score on podcast.
Okay.
So I assume he's going to edit. Is he going to edit any of this out, or is it all going to happen live?
So in last place in this week's quiz, we will put it down to him being out of practice by 3 weeks from being on the podcast. It is a sad little Mark Packham.
Unbelievable.
A sad little man.
With 4 points on this quiz.
I got all of those in one round, I think.
Yeah, I thought you did really well. Yeah.
Turns out not.
Oh, wait, no, I missed out a whole round for you.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, oh, no, it is sure. 4. No, yeah, yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6, 7. Oh yeah. Okay.
I've got
no,
7
I did
points.
Do that wrong. Yeah. Okay.
And it's, you know, it's in the same ballpark.
4 out of 7. You know.
Okay. It's fine. I've got it right now. Everything's correct now. So Mark Packham, you didn't actually come last.
I was going to say I thought I probably came last.
In joint last place with 7 points. Is Mark Packham and Jay Cross.
That's right.
Meaning that with 8 points, Matthew Knight has...
I am absolutely... Yes.
That is definitely not true. Like, how is that right? Jay got the double. Mark, you didn't count the double points, did you, you idiot?
Yes, I did. Jay got... You got 2 in the first round, 3 in the second round, 1 in the third, and 1 in the fourth. Jay, you got 3
in the
first.
Jay got, like, 4 questions right in the round that he had double points. How come he only have 7 points?
He didn't.
No,
he
I would have done. I would have done.
He only
had
got
it
2,
not been,
meaning
I would
he
have
scored
got,
4.
I would have done had it not been for the fact that Joe interrupted and gave me no option to get double points. Not even double points. Just to answer the questions. It should have been my questions to answer.
I think
Whereas
so.
Unbelievable. Matt consistently scored points. He had 3 in the first round, 2 in the second, none in the third, and 3 in the last.
This is an absolute outrage.
Someone who cares more than me needs to listen back to this whole thing and actually mark the scores down correctly.
I am convinced of my accuracy here, ladies and gentlemen. I think we've done a fantastic job, and that is a wonderful quiz round. We've done. This was a good quiz. How did you do, listener? Did you score as highly as Matt Knight, you know, who's proved himself to be the most nerdy of all guitar nerds, not even needing a double point round to get his scores to the
bloody
the
best. That's what they call me.
Yes, he's done very well. Well, that is in fact all the time we have for this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We'll of course be continuing over on our Patreon special episode, where I imagine I'm going to be getting quite a lot of flack. And if you want to hear that, then you can support us on Patreon. There are 3 tiers that you can support us at: the $1, the $5, and the $10 tier. The $1 tier gets you this regular episode ad free and early. The $5 tier will get you all the bonus content every week, and the $10 $5 tier means that I will sing your name in a song at the end of each week's podcast. How wonderful is that? You can follow us on all the major social platforms with @GuitarNerds and join us on the Facebook community at facebook.com/groups/GuitarNerdsForum. Thanks very much for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Bye-bye.
Off. Oh.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.